God. We're going to be tonight right back in the book of Genesis in chapter 39 and in the life of Joseph a little bit more in tonight's message, okay? Chapter number 39 in the book of Genesis. Good to be here tonight. Appreciate our visitors coming in, being here with us. Hope the service will be a blessing to them and to all of us alike tonight. You know, it's a good to be saved, isn't it? That's the need, knowing that Jesus is about to come back and for us. It's living an exciting time, and I'm thrilled about it. It wouldn't bother me if he came today, tonight, whenever, and I'm happy about going to heaven. We got a wonderful, wonderful place to go to. A lot of people think it's just a figment of your imagination, but I'll tell you, I'm a Bible believer, and I believe what the Word of God says about it. We're going to a place that's far, far better than this world that we're living in here. No more sorrow, no more heartache, grief, no more pain, broken hearts. Be a wonderful, wonderful place that we're going to be in. And what's going to make it worth it all? Jesus is going to be there. He that loved us so much and died for us is going to be there with us. And we'll get to be in His presence for all time and eternity. Okay, Genesis chapter number 39. And we're going to begin reading in verse 21. Just read three verses of Scripture tonight, and we'll get right into the message. And I'll not be long-winded tonight, I promise you on that, okay? I want to begin reading in verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Now may the Lord add his blessing to that. Let's look to him in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I'm grateful and thankful for another opportunity to be in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for your word that's before us tonight. I pray that you'll bless it to our hearts, that you'll stir our hearts, Lord, and give us grace and help tonight. I know there's those tonight here that, Lord, are sick in their body and they need divine healing, a touch of God. I pray you'll grant that. There's others tonight that are brokenhearted. Some, Lord, are grieving in soul and spirit. Some are troubled. Some are in the midst of trials and tribulations. I do pray you'd give us grace and divine help from He that's able to do great and mighty things that we know not of. Open up Thy Word to us now. Give us understanding from it. Bless our hearts, Lord, as only You can save sinners. And bless your people, and may the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ be magnified and lifted up, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Our thought really tonight for what I want to be preaching from primarily is found right there in verse number 21, where the writer of the book of Genesis, Moses writing, I believe, inspired of God, he said, "But the Lord was with Joseph." But the Lord was with Joseph. Now, I want to preach for a little while tonight on that thought, Joseph and the Lord's presence. And I want to say a few things before we get there. Naturally, we all preachers do that, but say a few things before we get there. But Joseph and the Lord's presence. You know, I just, over the week and the weekend, I've just kind of continued to meditate on the story of Jesus, Joseph rather, and especially here out on chapter number 39. And as I studied this and looked at it over and over and time again, I couldn't help but to notice the number of times that the phrase there is used, and it came to pass. I'll be going back to this probably in a minute, but if you was to read chapter number 39, you'd find out from verse 5 down through chapter number 19, that phrase is used 8 times in the Word of God. And it came to pass. And then it's used again in chapter number 40, and verse number 1, and it came to pass. And I got to mulling that thing around in my heart and my mind and trying to study out exactly what it meant when the Bible says it came to pass. I remember Dr. Sotler years ago preached a message at Tabernacle, and he preached on that thought, and it came to pass. And he preached on different situations in the Word of God where some things that men had faced in their life and the Lord had brought them to pass. Things had come to pass. And that was about the time I was graduating from Bible college, and I jumped up and shouted I said, praise God, I was in Bible college, but it came to pass. I've graduated. I'm on the way down the road. Amen. And so I was a graduate. Thank God for that. But Dr. Tyler preached a message on, and it came to pass, and mentioned several things out of the Word of God that transpired, that it came to pass. You know, I began to study out that phrase and try to find out exactly for my own self, what it means. And this is Hallology now. I didn't get this out of nobody's book. This is Hallology, theology, my theology. But the best I can figure out, that word, it came to pass, simply means that that it is a future event in someone's life. It's unknown to them that it is evidently, but it's evidently fulfilled by the power and for the purpose of God. In other words, it's something in somebody's life that's out yonder in the future that they actually know nothing about themselves. God knows about it. And in God's timing and in God's plan, God will bring that thing forth, and it will come to pass in your life and my life. I remember they said several years ago down at one of the preachers, I'll think of your name in a minute, white-headed preacher, Tennessee, Biddle, Brother Milford Biddle was pastoring, said his wife, you just have to know Sister Biddle. I mean, there's only one Sister Biddle, and that's all. And they was having a camp meeting, and it used to get on down there. I mean, they'd shout, brother, and run the aisles and carry on. I mean, it'd get on in a big-time way. And said that the choir was singing one night, and they was coming down out of the choir down the steps. And said as they came down, Sister Biddle's heel got hung on a piece of raveling on the carpet. And said when it hung, said she fell right flat of her face right out in the middle of the floor. And it would embarrass most women half to death. But said Sister Biddle just thanked up and turned around and looked over at Brother Bill and said, thank God, Milford, that's over with. And as if it was going to happen, and thank God that it did happen, and it was all, and it was past. And she might look back at that and say, thank God it came to pass. You know, it's over with. I don't have to face that anymore. There were some things in Joseph's life that he could look back and say, thank God, those things are over with. They've come to pass. I don't have to worry about those things any longer. And as I said, that word is mentioned 8 times in these verses. In verse number 5, it came to pass from that time that Potiphar made him, that is Joseph, the overseer of his house. And then again, I'm not going to preach on these now. And again, in verse number 7, it came to pass that the master's wife had set her eyes upon Joseph and said, come lie with me. And then in verse number 10, it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph from day to day, she continued to plead with him to lay with her. And then in verse number 11, it came to pass again about this time that Joseph went in the house to take care of his business, and no men being in the house. And in verse 13, and it came to pass when she saw that she had left his garment and in her hand and was fled forth. It came to pass again. Verse number 15, and it came to pass when he heard that, I lifted up my voice. This woman is speaking again. It came to pass again. And verse 18, it came to pass that as I lifted up my voice, she's telling her husband this now, how this came to pass. And in verse 19, and it came to pass when his master heard these words, he was wroth. And upon that statement, he put Joseph in the king's prison house. And that brings us to this thought. That word and is a conjunction. And all these events that's taken place in Joseph's life, they're all joined together. They're there in the mind and the purpose and the plan of Almighty God. And it came to pass. And it came to pass. And so that conjunction joins them all together. And all these things that came to pass, except the one that I read, except the one in verse 5, are all bad and evil things. Every one of them is something evil. But what amazes me is in verse number 21, all these things coming to pass that was contrary into the life of Joseph and what he would have really wanted for his own life. Yet the Bible just up and out of nowhere says, but the Lord was with Joseph. You reckon you and I could say that tonight? Amen. Out of all the things that are happening in our life, that is displeasing to us, discouraging to us, things that break our heart, things that afflict us in our body, things that afflict us in our soul or our spirit, and yet they all seem evil, but you put them all together, and the next phrase you can say is, but the Lord was with me. But the Lord is with you. And that's a blessed thing, knowing that the Lord there was with Joseph. Now, this statement reveals, really, the statement reveals God's working out the good things in Joseph's life. In fact, I thought of Romans 8:28 when I read down through here. All these things, evil things happening to Joseph, but the Lord was with him. And I couldn't help but to think of Romans 8:28. For the Bible says there that in Romans 8:28, for we know that all things, not a few, not two or three, but all things, work together for good to them who are the called according to God's purpose. To them who are the called according to God's purpose. And so all these things work together for our good. And you can say, preacher, how in heaven's name could all these bad things and being cast into the prison work together for good in Joseph's life? Well, when he got cast into prison, that was even working together for his good. Had he not got cast into the prison house, he'd have never met the baker and the butler. Had he never met the baker and the butler, the baker and the butler had never had a dream. Had the baker and the butler never had a dream, Joseph would never have had an opportunity to interpret those dreams. Had he never had an opportunity to interpret those dreams, he would have never been promoted from the prison house to governor in the land of Egypt. So all these things that look evil working from the outside are really working for his good and for the glory of God on the inside. You know something, ladies and gentlemen, I could name many people in here tonight. And some of you are here. Others I know outside of our church that are suffering physically. Some are suffering terrible in terrible ways in their spirit, in their physical body. Some suffering spiritually. I mean, some are in trouble, big troubles, fighting the devil. And from the outside, this looks like a terrible thing. But we need to look at it from God's perspective. But the Lord was with Joseph. And may I say tonight, as the Lord was with Joseph, so is the Lord with you. And so is the Lord with me. We may not always see His hand, but I'm telling you, God is always working in these things in our life to bring honor to His name and blessing and good to the child of God. He loves you too much to do you wrong, and He's too wise to ever make a mistake in your life. He's not about to do you wrong. All things do work together for our good. I don't understand them all now, but in the sweet by and by, and somewhere down the road when God lets us look back on time, we'll understand it all together by and by down the road. I promise you on that. And so the statement reveals God's working out good things in Joseph's life. Then I want to say also that it proves the worthiness of the Lord's name. The Lord was with Joseph. That proves the worthiness of the Lord's name. For the Bible said in Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall conceive, be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Which being interpreted, is God with us. Now, that is proven here in Joseph's life. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him, Emmanuel. What a thought that is. God's name gives us the assurance that He is with us in every situation of life. We may not understand that situation. We may not understand that trial. We may not understand why we're going through why we are. Why does God treat people seemingly in one way and other people in another way? Now, may I say to you that we can all take a lesson from Joseph. I know people that have gotten terribly sick. Brother Andy is a good example, and I don't think he minds me using him at all. But I've never heard Brother Andy not one time since he's been sick. He's shown more grace, I believe, than I would ever have shown. Amen. He's not one time since he's been sick has he ever blamed the Lord for his sickness. Not one time. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that get sick and yet come down with some disease, especially if it's a terminal disease. And they begin to blame God. Why does this happen to me? Why didn't it happen to somebody else? May I say that God knows what is best in your life and my life, and He will give you what is best for each one of us. Now, we don't have to understand that. All we got to do is believe God.
Just believe that God is doing right and He will do right, and He'll bring us out on the other end of the trial. And when He does, we shall be as pure as gold, I'll assure you that. And can I say this to you? The deeper the trial, the greater the blessing. That's right. The deeper the trial that God puts us in, the purer we're going to be like when we come out on the other side. Job said when he's tried, he's going to come forth as gold. And I'm going to tell you something. The longer you stay in the fire, the purer you get. And it does matter what kind of an attitude you got while you're in the fire. Here is a young man that faced all kind of adversities in his life that I'll mention in a minute. And yet not one time did he ever blame God for it. Not one time did he ever criticize God. Not one time did he ever criticize his brothers. Not one time did he ever criticize Potiphar or Potiphar's wife or the baker or the butler or anyone else. Not one time did he ever criticize anybody. You know why? He knew that God was working out His plan and purpose in his life and that all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord. And the fact of the matter was that the Lord was with him and he knew the Lord was with him. Hey, and that would simply prove the worthiness of the Lord's name. Emmanuel, God with us. And neighbor, I can assure you tonight, God's with us tonight. Somebody said, oh, he's written Ichabod on the church door. He has. He didn't tell me he did. Amen. I didn't see the name out there when I walked in. Right. I looked up above the door and read, enter into the joy of thy Lord. Amen. Enter into the house of God. Enter into my courts with praise and with thanksgiving. Amen. I've done my best to come in and help Brother George sing tonight. God knows my throat's a little raw and I got a little slime running around in it. I thought, Lord, I don't know if I'm able to sing or not. And I don't know if you heard me or not, when he started singing, that's just a closer walk with thee. He started out on the verse of the song and I started singing the chorus, just a closer walk with thee. I hope you didn't hear me. I messed up so bad. I hope you didn't hear me. But I'm telling you, I was trying. I'd made up my mind I was going to come into this place praising the Lord. And that's right. That's right. And friend, I'm telling you, we're going to heaven. And I'm going to tell you, 1,000 years with the Lord is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. And I'm going to tell you, this may sound cruel, but it's not. It's not. Our lifespan on this earth, whether it's 60, 10, 40, or whether it's 60 or 50 or whatever it might be, hey, it really doesn't matter. If we're saved by the grace of God, we're heaven bound with a hammer down. Amen. When we cross over on the other side, time will be no more for us. We'll not worry about living how long down here. It's going to be how long we're going to be over there. And that's going to be, like I said this morning, for a long, long, long time we're going to be with Jesus on the other side of the river. Amen. Now I want to say thirdly, it's His promise to us is established in this. But the Lord was with Job. But the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord's promise is established there. For he said in Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, if you can get a hold of that, that's a double promise. He didn't just say, I'll never forsake thee, but he said, I'll never even leave you. The Lord can leave somebody without forsaking them. But he can't forsake him without leaving him. Amen. And he's not going to forsake us. He's not going to leave us. Right. So standing somewhere in the shadows, you're going to find Jesus. Amen. Boy, I'll tell you, when you're low and down and out, you feel like that nobody loves you and nobody cares. I'm going to tell you, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, you'll find one that cares for you. When you think that somebody in your family is terribly ill, is sick, and I can name many of you in here I'm thinking Miss Jennifer and her daddy. They've been through a world of grief and pain and sorrow. But I'm going to tell you, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's there. And He's a friend that always cares and understands. Don't you think He didn't know about Joseph? He knew about Joseph's brothers. He knew about the pit. He knew about Potiphar. He knew about the prison house. He knew about the baker. He knew about the butler. He knew about Pharaoh. And by the way, he knew about the 7 years of famine before they ever got there. Say amen. That's right. What a God we have. Hallelujah. It is a wonderful name. But that promise that He'll never leave us nor never forsake us. We don't have to worry about God forsaking us. You know, sometimes when we get old, and I'm not getting old, I've done got there. I'm not getting old. You say amen, that ain't going to hurt my feelings. I know I'm not getting old. Miss Hall, tell me, we leave the house, you come to church, she'll say, come on, old man. Yeah. We talk one another not to call each other old man or old woman, but she don't mean that as like a lot of people mean it when they're young. They'll say, my old man or my old lady. She means that as I am an old man. Come on, old man. And I'll say, yes, young lady. And we'll head out the door. But I'm going to tell you, I realize I'm getting old. There's no doubt about it. But I'm going to tell you one thing. The Lord has never left me. All these years, He's been my staff and stay. He's been my comfort all along the way. He's been my rain on a cloud, my sunshine on a cloudy day. Amen. He's been my comfort when my heart is broken. He's been my strength when I'm weak. He's my power when I need it. Amen. He's a light when I need light for my life. He's understanding when I don't understand. When I'm misunderstood, He makes it worthwhile for me. He's my all in all, and He is yours too. He'll never leave you, and He'll never forsake you. He never left Joseph. He never forsook Joseph. Though everything went wrong in Joseph's life, that seemingly and apparently, God was with him. And I'm going to tell you, the end result was worth it all. He wound up, woo, on the throne, ladies and gentlemen, as governor of Egypt. Now I'm telling you, one of these days, it'll be worth it all. We sang that song, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Now I'm telling you, hallelujah, I'm about to run my head through a wall. It will be worth it all when we see Him. Amen. Every heartache we suffered, every heartbreak we suffered, it'll be worth it all. Every bit of it. Every adversity we've had in life, it'll be worth it when we see Jesus. Better believe it will. I think of Brother Rick and Miss Kelly back there when they lost their little baby. I'm going to tell you, I'm honest. I say this, it's behind us now. And I say this in all honesty. I told my wife many nights, I don't believe Brother Ricky's going to make it. I was as grieved over him as he was losing that baby. And I told my wife, I said, if anybody's got a reason to leave this church, he's got one. Buddy, I poured it on him hot and heavy, son, trying to get him out of the mully grubs. But you know what? That's my fault. That was my mistake. And I admit to it. That was my mistake. You know why it was my mistake? I never lost a child. I didn't know what it felt like. I couldn't comfort him. So what I wanted to do was try to bring him up to my level. Amen. Because I couldn't get down to his. But I'm telling you, there's one in heaven that can. Amen. He can get down to our level where we are. He can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Thank you. God, there's one that understands our heartaches and our woes, church. He'll help us in every situation. He did this young man. I'm going to tell you something else it does. It manifests a protection that He provides for His own. Now, listen carefully. Jesus said Himself in Matthew 23:37, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem. He said, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. The Lord said, I would have protected you, but you wouldn't let me. I've told this story, most of you have heard it, but you can hear it again, it won't hurt you. But years ago, I read in the Bible where years ago out west they had a brush fire. Somewhere like Kansas where they had sagebrush and it was really rolling and moving and they couldn't get it put out. They were doing everything they could do and they couldn't put it out. And the fire overtook some of them. And some of the men was trailing that fire and trying to get it out. This one fellow saw a clump laying up from just a charred clump. A big charred clump. He thought it was a clump of grass that hadn't burned all the way up. And he walked up beside that thing with his foot and he kicked it. And out under that clump of what he thought was a clump of charred grass, run a bunch of little baby chickens. And he realized that what that he thought was a clump of grass was a mama hen. And that old mama hen had seen that fire coming. And she spread her wings out over them little chickens like Jesus is talking about here about his children. And covered them with her wings and protected them. And gave her life that they might have life. Now I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what Jesus done for Joseph. Joseph could have been dead a number of times. But God put His wings of mercy around him.
Amen.
And protected him.
Yes.
Gathered him under His wings, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to tell you what, God will do the same for you and I tonight. You better believe that He will. In our calamities of life, God will protect us and gather us under His wings of security and protection, and then lead us in the way everlasting. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. Now, when was the Lord with Joseph? Well, I won't say He was with him when he was persecuted. He was with him when he was persecuted. I looked up that word persecute in the dictionary, and it means to pursue in a manner to injure, vex, or afflict. It means to harass with unjust punishment or penalties for supposed offenses. It means to inflict pain for hatred or malignity. You reckon his brothers persecuted him because of hatred? Sure they hated him. We'll get to that in a minute. It also means to afflict. It means to harass or destroy for adherence to a particular creed or a system of a religious system. Do you reckon that his brothers persecuted him because of his Bible principles that he believed? Do you reckon he was a little more spiritual than they were? I've known people that will literally persecute somebody because they're a little more spiritual. Amen. Than what they are. That's exactly what his brothers were doing to him. He had had those dreams. God had given him those dreams about what was going to happen in the future. And he had told them to his brothers, to his father. And I'm going to tell you, they couldn't handle that. And because he was spiritually minded and was pure in heart, and he brought their evil report back to the father, they didn't know how to handle that. And so they began to persecute him. When they saw him coming, they said, "There comes that dreamer." And they wanted to kill him. But they wound up throwing him in the pit, which was just another working of God's grace. In the pit he went. Now I'm going to tell you, hey, but God was with him in the pit. Out of the pit he came. Ishmaelites and the Midianites, whichever ones it was that actually took him down there. I'm really not sure which ones of them it might have been, the way the book reads. But they took him down to Egypt and sold him into slavery. But the Lord was with him. Every step of the way, God was with him. You better believe that's right. So his brothers persecuted him. They persecuted him with hatred. They hated him. They envied him. They were jealous of him. But the Lord was with him.
Amen.
Now, friend, I'm going to tell you, somebody may be jealous of you. Somebody may envy you. Somebody may be critical of you because you've got a little spirituality about you, because maybe you've got a little godliness about you that they don't have. I learned a long time ago that the ungodly will persecute the godly. The fleshly, the carnal, will persecute the spiritual. You mark her down. Esau persecuted his brother. Am I right or not? Amen. Ishmael persecuted his brother. Cain persecuted his brother. It's that way all down the line, what Paul tells us. And so they persecuted him because they envied him and they were jealous of him. You know, if someone hates you, you're not the first person that someone's ever hated. When you get to heaven, Joseph will say, "Hey, my own flesh and blood hated me." You know, it's one thing. Now listen to me. It's one thing to be hated or persecuted. I'll put it that way. I'll lighten it up a little. It's one thing to be persecuted by them that are without. But it's another thing to be persecuted by them that are within.
Amen.
I mean, I can handle somebody out there persecuting me. I'm going to tell you that when my own brothers and sisters in the Lord begin to persecute me because of my religious beliefs or because of envy something about me or you or anyone else in the house of God, I'm telling you, that's when it hurts. That's when it's troublesome. That's when it's hard to handle in your heart. But the Lord is with you just like He was with Joseph. He's with you. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Let the, what David called him? Huh? Let the heathen rage. Let the heathen rage. That's right. Let the heathen rage. Now, stay with me. They persecuted him when they cast him into the pit. But the Lord was with him. There he's persecuted, cast in a pit. But to show you how all things work together for our good, here comes those Midianite merchantmen, drew him up according to this, and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites. There's God, God being with him. Oh, yes, they put him in that pit. But do you think those merchantmen come by there accidentally? Not on earth. They didn't come by there accidentally. God brought them by there. I got a feeling whispered in their ear. So I got a little boy down there in the pit needs to get out.
Amen.
They brought him out. Now they thought to do him harm. They carried him down to Egypt and sold him to Potiphar. But guess what? The Lord was still with him. And Potiphar brought him in the house. God was still with him. Potiphar's wife made a play for him and Potiphar put him in the prison. But the Lord was still with him. God was with him all the days of his life. Amen. Persecuted when he was cast into the pit, but the Lord was with him. He was persecuted when he was sold as a slave, but the Lord was with him. When purchased by Potiphar, the Lord was still with him. He was persecuted when he was lied on by Potiphar's wife, but the Lord was with him. He was cast into the prison. What a blessing.
Amen.
There's that lying heifer. Lying to those men about claiming that Joseph made a play for her when she was the one making the play for him. And lied to those men of the house and then lied to her own husband.
Right.
And the Lord and Potiphar put that young man down in the prison house. But the Lord was with him.
Right.
I'm telling you, isn't that a marvelous thing? I think of old John Bunyan. They put him in a prison house. But the Lord was with him. You realize he wrote Pilgrim's Progress in a prison house?
Amen.
You realize that Paul wrote much of the New Testament in a prison house?
Right.
Oh, they put... He's not the only man ever persecuted put in a prison house.
Amen.
But the Lord was with him.
Amen.
What a blessing.
Amen.
Can you imagine that? God being with him in that prison house. He was. The Lord was with him in the prison. There he met the butcher and the baker. The Lord was with him when the butcher and the baker had their dreams.
Amen.
Those dreams is what got Joseph out of that prison house. God was with him when he was prospering. And I mean prospering spiritually. The Bible said he's with him in his prosperity, but I don't see anything anywhere he ever become a rich man. His prosperity had to be spiritual. I mean, this young man was growing in some grace and knowledge. He was going through things as a 17-year-old boy that most men couldn't endure. But he went through it with a closed mouth, never complained, never criticized God. No, not one time did he ever complain to God about it. He just took it and went on as his part in life. And God brought him out on the other side and blessed him. And blessed him in spite of his brothers. And blessed him in spite of Potiphar's wife. And blessed him in spite of the pit. And blessed him in spite of the prison. God blessed him in spite of these things. You know why? God had a plan for that boy and a purpose for that boy. Now I'm telling you on the authority of the Word of God, you can like this or you can lump it. Don't matter to me. If God's got a purpose and a plan for you, and if you're saved, ye have. Because we know that all things work together for good to them who are called according to God's purpose. And if you're called and saved tonight, God's got a purpose for you. So everything that's happening in your life is happening to fulfill that purpose that God has for you. And He does have a purpose for you. That's right. When God was with him when he was prospering. God was with him when he was promoted. He was promoted to Potiphar's house. Can you imagine being promoted and being in charge of that man's house and all that he had? Everything that he had was under Joseph's hand. Not anything that he had did he have to worry about giving account for. Joseph took care of it all. And all at once, he loses that place of authority and cast into prison. That'd be pretty much of a downhill drag, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That'd be a pretty good fall. To fall from Potiphar's house to the prison house. I'm telling you, friend, that's a pretty big fall. And a hard fall. But the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. And the Lord was with him in such a way that the Bible said that he found favor in the eyes of the keeper of the prison. And just like Potiphar set him over everything in the house, the keeper of the prison set him over everything in the prison house. Amen. And just like Potiphar put him over everything in his house, and the keeper of the prison put him over everything in the prison house, then Pharaoh put him over everything in his house. I'm going to tell you, this young man, God blessed him. God blessed him when he was persecuted. Amen. And the reason was because the Lord was with him.
Amen.
Even in his, when he prospered and when he was promoted. And all these things. Now three things very quickly and I'm done. I see three things here very quickly. Number one, I see the providence of God. I still believe in the providence of God. A lot of people may not believe in it, but I do. I got a questionnaire in from the VA the other day. They asked questions in there like, was you ever in a situation where there was a booby trap go off? See my paperwork. Did you ever see a man die? Did you ever kill a man? Have you ever seen men killed? Have you ever been invading an enemy force and had artillery or naval guns firing on your position? Have you ever been fired on while flying in a helicopter? They asked all these questions. And I have many of them, I say, did you ever kill anybody in the military? How would you answer all those questions? But I can honestly say that through it all, I see the providence of God working in my life. I'm glad he knew the right Jerry Lee Hall. That's right. And when Philip Dale died 3 feet in front of me, fell back into my arms and sat down and died there, at my feet. I didn't think much about it then. But I look at it now and I think, oh Lord, there I was in that situation and I could have been the one that died. But that young soldier took that shrapnel 3 feet in front of me that could have took me out into eternity to meet God without any hope. But in the providence of God, in the providence of God, he let that boy take my load for me. God brought me all the way back to southern Indiana where I could hear some old Baptist preacher tell me about Jesus. And I got born again by the grace of God. How wonderful providence really is. I'm telling you, if somebody don't believe in providence, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. I look at Moses' life. And the providence of God in Moses' life. You think it was an accident that Pharaoh's daughter found him and that he was given right back to his own mother to nurse him as a baby? You think it was an accident that he was raised in Pharaoh's house to learn all the ways of Egypt and was a mighty man in the military? No doubt. You think that was an accident? No, that was the providence of God working in Moses' life. Training him. And preparing him for the day that he'd come back and look that man of power in his face and tell him that the Lord had given him commandment. The Lord of the Hebrews has said, let my people go. Oh, I'm going to tell you, Pharaoh made a big mistake when he said, I don't know the Lord. He didn't. He told the truth. But oh, I'm telling you, he paid for it. And he said, neither will I let Israel. Here's what got him when he said, neither will I let Israel go. It's one thing not to know the Lord. But when you start fighting against God, friend, I'm telling you, you're making a big mistake. It's like trying to stop a freight train. You're not going to get the job done. No need to fight against God. You don't find this boy fighting against God. What can we do? If we believe we're in the will of God and the providence of God is carrying us through this life, and all things work together for our good, why fight it?
Amen.
Praise God through it if we can. And that's not easy to do. I'm asking you to do something that is difficult. But I think I'm asking a spiritually minded people that's got enough spirituality about them that can, if the need should arise, I think there's most of you in here would be able to do that.
Amen.
I'm trying to teach you to do that. I want to set the example.
Amen.
If I have to, I want to set the example. And let the providence of God work through our lives. Then I see the power of God. It was the power of God that preserved him from the hands of his own brothers that wanted to kill him. They envied him. They hated him. They were jealous of him. That little coat of many colors represented the authority of the family. I'm going to say they hated him because of that. They wanted him dead. But God's power preserved him from death. Kept him alive until those merchantmen came along and those Ishmaelites and carried him off down into the land of Egypt. That's right. The power of God. Power of God when that woman over and over and over. Hey, do you realize now that Potiphar had the power that he could have killed, had Joseph killed? But God's power is greater power.
Amen.
Now I'm sure Potiphar gave it some thought, but there's one in heaven probably invaded his mind and said, "No, no, not back up, big boy. You don't want to lay your hand on that young man. He's mine. He's a chosen vessel for me," and he was. If Paul was a chosen vessel, there's no doubt that Joseph was a chosen vessel also, sent before his brethren to preserve many souls alive, is what the Bible says. He had to be a chosen vessel.
Yes, sir.
I don't find one bad thing in all the Scriptures said about Joseph. Not one thing. Fine young man that God used. So I see the providence of God. I see the power of God. And as I mentioned so many times, I see the purpose of God. God sent him down there. And hey, and he had to go through every step that he went through in order to get to the governor's chair, the throne, in Pharaoh's house. He couldn't, there's no shortcuts. He had to go that way. I remember Brother May Jackson years ago when I was graduating from Bible college back in 1985. Preached out of this text on Joseph. And he preached on it's just another step on the way to the throne. And he talked about Joseph and about all the troubles that he went through and the trials that he faced. He said each and every one of them was just another step on the way to the throne. And they are, ladies and gentlemen. We may not understand it right now, but God's purpose is being worked out in our life, your life and my life. And everything that we go through, whether it be in sickness, whether it be financial problems, whether it be troubles in the family, you name it, friend. If we really love God and we're doing what's right, it's all according to the purpose and the plan of Almighty God. He's got something in mind for you. I believe there's some of you in here tonight that God's got something in mind for. Preparing you for something, I don't know what. But I believe that with my soul, that there's many of you in here tonight that God is preparing you for something down the road that you don't know anything about. Do you think that Joseph had any idea when he went up there to those brethren and they threw him in that pit that someday he'd come out of that pit? I'd venture to say he probably never dreamed he'd ever get out of the pit, much less the throne of Egypt as governor. I don't believe he ever dreamed how God was preparing him for that day when Pharaoh would have him to come and sit on that throne. Said he, the only place that I'll be any greater than Joseph is in the throne. The only place. God worked out that purpose in his life. God worked it out. He told his brothers later, he said, you don't have to worry about the fact that you sold me as a slave. He said, because God was behind it all. God was the one doing it all. And he did. And so he brought me down here to preserve many souls alive. And that 7 years of famine and 7 years of good and 7 years of famine proved that purpose that God had planned for him to come to pass. And all these things, and it came to pass, and it came to pass, and it came to pass, but the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord's with you and I tonight. He's not went anywhere. He's not forsaken us. He's not failed us. He's not left us. And He doesn't intend to. Because according to the Word of God, I don't believe that He can. Not if we're truly saved by His marvelous grace. What about that young man? Is God working in your life? Is there things going on with you right now that you don't understand? I won't say if they are. Just pray. Find the will of God. Find the purpose and the plan of God for your life and walk in the will of God. You'll never regret it. I promise you that. Let's stand together.